And the watchman's there. Think fast, George. That's a break. He's off duty. More guards. The lobby's sewed up like a sack. And they said shoot to kill. They meant you, George. You. How'd I get into this rat race anyway? I'm no criminal. What happened? When did it all start? Just 36 hours ago, I was down there, crossing that lobby on my way to work, minding my own business, looking forward to my first vacation in years. 36 hours ago, I was a decent, respectable, law-abiding citizen with a wife and a kid and a big job. Just 36 hours ago by the big clock.
And is the most accurate and the most unique privately owned clock in the world. Now, behind this huge map of the globe is a single master mechanism. Built at a cost of $600,000, it is set so you can tell the time anywhere on the earth. London, Chicago, Honolulu, and so forth. It also synchronizes the clocks in this building with those in the secondary printing plants in Kansas City and San Francisco, and in the 43 foreign bureaus of the Genet organization.
Hey, mister, I'd like to ask you something.
Yes, sir?
What happens if the clock stops?
Oh, Mr. Genet would never permit that. Good morning, Betty.
Good morning, Mr. Stroud. Here it is.
Thank you.
We will now visit the public exhibit, displaying the latest developments in the various fields covered by the Janus publication.
The elevator is going out.
Hello,
Joan.
Hello, George.
Oh, Lily. You're mighty smart this morning.
Well, thank you.
Should ride this more often.
Broadway.
Ten, please. Hello, Miss Cole.
Hello. Mister, would you mind? The elevator doesn't run unless the door is closed.
Oh, excuse me.
You work this shift every day?
Airway!
I teach you the reliability angle. You're safer than an airplane you are in the bathtub. Here's the sketch.
Fine.
We've got nice elevators in our building, too. Come on over sometime. I'll give you a free ride.
Airway!
No.
Up.
What's the matter? I got poison ivy?
We are not allowed to speak to people in the elevators.
Mr. Janeth doesn't permit it.
That was it. Watch your step. Gentlemen, watch yourselves.
Newsways, please.
Newsways.
Newsways.
Newsways. Crimeways.
Pardon?
Age 63. Frequents Metropolis City Club, Broadmeadow Country Club, Skyview Luncheon Club. Background, banking business for 46 years.
I'm expecting you many minutes. I'll tell the instant you arrive. Oh, hold it just a minute. This is Stroud. Salt Lake's on the line, and your wife's been trying to reach you.
Oh, put Salt Lake on.
But they're on.
I know. All right, fine. Yes, Roy. Yeah, it's plenty of time. But you're worried about it.
Janet.
Hello. Yeah? Yes, it's Stroud. Oh, hello, Max. How are you making out?
But George.
You have? Oh, wonderful. Where was he? What did I tell you? Once the seashell man, always the seashell man.
George, they're waiting.
Well, will he talk? Well, pretend you're a fellow collector or something. Ask him if he's going to spend the dough on oysters and blondes. Yeah. And look, you've got an hour and 53 minutes to get the story. Atta boy, Max. You just located
George,
Fleming.
They're waiting for you.
Grace, call a composer. Don't tell the whole editor. I'm going to replay.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
And get your wife.
Yes, sir.
George, you're the only one not there. Mr. Janet will be furious. Time is money.
Fleming is in Salt Lake. Miller's going to wire us a story. Here's the background and proofs of the story you already had set up. Go on, Roy. Go on. Hello? Oh, hello, darling. Yeah. Huh? No bath and no oatmeal. Let me talk to him.
All right, but he doesn't believe he's going. He thinks it's just like last trip and the time before and all the other trips we didn't go on. Huh? I'll let you talk to him. George, Daddy wants to talk to you.
Hello, Daddy. But I don't believe we're going.
But this is the McCoy, an expedition, and Mother's going to do the cooking. What? Yeah, I know it's tough, but you'll do the hunting. That's why you should eat your oatmeal to build up your strength. You better believe me. Look under my pillow.
Oh, boy! Look, Mommy, a Tommy just integrated.
I think you've sold him, Wonder Man. I'll let you know at lunch.
A little child psychology there. All right, dear, 12:30 at the Van Bart, huh? Bye, darling.
Today's agenda is solely on the subject of increasing circulation. The figures for the second quarter have fallen off badly. From a monthly high of 33 million in January, we've had a 6% recession, a loss of almost 2 million copies. In some cases, we are below the circulation levels we have guaranteed our advertisers. Mr. Janus is very upset. He's going to want ideas.
Now, gentlemen, sit down. And I resent this deeply. There are 2,081,376,000 seconds in the average man's life, each tick the proper beat of the heart. And yet you sit here useless to ticking your lives away because certain members of our conference are not on schedule. Where is George Stroud?
The boys trying to find him.
I do not propose to be held up, not even by Mr. Stroud. Have you told the others what we want?
Ideas to build circulation.
Not just ideas, Steve. Dynamic angles. We live in a dynamic age, gentlemen. Dynamic competitors. Radio, newspapers, newsreels. And we must anticipate trends before they are trends. We are, in effect, clairvoyants, correct?
Yes, yes, Mr. Janet.
I have provided the tools. A budget of 37 million, a staff of 3,600, bureaus from Reykjavik to Cairo, Moscow to Buenos Aires. All this is West, sure West, under the leadership of chuckleheads. Now, Mr. Roberts, you have exactly 1 minute to tell us how you propose to add 100,000 subscriptions to Newsways.
Well, I suggest that we offer prizes for the best letters from subscribers on how to preserve world peace
time, Mr. Janet.
$1,000 each week, and a grand prize of $25,000 to be awarded.
The general theory of the publishing business, Roberts, is to sell magazines, not to pay people to read them. Now, Mr. Cordat is acting manager during Stroud's vacation. You have 1 minute to tell us your ideas on how to add 50,000 readers to Crime Worries.
Well, I have one suggestion that might be of value. A new feature to be called Solution of the Week.
Miss Perkins.
Yes, Mr. Jack?
I'm listening, Cora.
The most important...
Hold the Boston call.
The most unique solution of
Steve,
the crime.
Steve, remind me of the Boston business.
Highlighting the fact, of course, that crime does not pay. It's education.
Commissioners, stay. The hash-up of last week's news. Exactly what we don't want.
Fleming.
I was reminding him of Fleming.
Scoundrel.
Yes. His story will sell 100,000 extra copies next week.
If you mean his personal story, I'd agree. But haven't you overlooked the necessity of finding him first?
We have.
Have what?
Found him. We have him in Salt Lake. We're repainting 1 and 2. It's too late to touch the cover now, but we'll do what we did with the Eiselman story. Run a 3-inch paper banner on every copy with Fleming found in block letters.
Make them red. Steve advertises in the morning papers. Use the 25 key cities. Young man, you have stumbled on something. Perhaps not exactly what I've been looking for, but nonetheless valuable. You have struck 12.
Thank you. Contrary to the anticipated nationwide trend, media research reports a present level of want to buy in this country at 25.6. Oh, hello, George. Sit down. Up 0.4 from last month. Nevertheless, our circulation fails to reflect this trend. I'll finish this later, Miss Blanchard. Well, George, you're getting to be a regular missing persons bureau. Fleming's number 3 this year.
Oh, 4 if you count the man he found hiding in his own basement. It's hardly time to put out a magazine.
What are your plans for next week?
Well, that's Cordette's problem. But mine should be in West Virginia.
Mr. Janet wants you to follow through. Personally.
On my vacation?
Postponed.
Oh, no. Oh, no, you can't do that. This is my honeymoon.
Honeymoon? With a 5-year-old child?
Yes, with a 5-year-old child. You know why? Janet. 7 years ago, I was assistant editor to the Wheeling, West Virginia Clarion. A happy man. Then I happened to run down a guy that the police of 3 states have been looking for. Headlines 3 feet high. I got a $15 raise. So I marry my girl and we go on our honeymoon to Uncle Fred's cabin on Indian Lake.
Idyllic.
I'm just about to pick up my bride and carry her over the threshold when the phone rings. And it's Janet. Wants me to run Crime Ways magazine, the police blotter of the nation, right away. Not next week or tomorrow, but tonight. 2 hours later, we're on the train for New York.
You'd have done better to stay in West Virginia, $50 a week.
And I had more in the bank then than I have now. And my wife still hasn't had her honeymoon. Put yourself in her place, Steve. How would you like to be a married woman who never had a honeymoon? It's become an obsession with her.
Well, ever since, I've been working 26 hours a day. Christmases, 4th of July's, Mother's Days. What does Janet think I am? A clock with springs and then gears instead of flesh and blood?
That's not the right attitude, George. Janet expects loyalty from the top right down to the bottom.
Oh, I'm loyal, all right. Every day at 9.
Shut that thing off.
12 times.
What are you doing here?
Just tidying up, Dallas. Isn't that the young man you pointed out the other night as the trouble from Mr. Stroud?
You find him interesting. How did you get up here?
Well, it did present a problem. The tycoon's lair, the bachelor's garden of the publishing world, seemed impregnable till I thought of your private elevator.
How did you get past the guard?
He's human. Mm-hmm. You're the only Superman around here. I think he must have been winding his watch.
You don't expect me to approve of your being here.
Not even on business? My singing lesson.
Hagen attended to that yesterday. You should have had a check this morning.
But he made a mistake. They would have cost $2,000. Remember? Or perhaps you think my voice isn't worth cultivating.
Your voice is worth exactly what that check reads. Miss Perkins.
Yes, Mr. Gannett?
Get me the name of the guard, my private elevator.
Yes, sir.
The public elevator's this way. I'm 6 minutes behind my schedule. I have to fly to Washington at 6:10. I will not have my papers disarranged. It confuses my secretary. I'll see you tomorrow night. 10:55.
If I wasn't up to my ears, I'd tell Johnson to take his 30,000 and buy another clock.
George, nobody's indispensable to this organization except Mr. Janet. Mull it over.
I don't have to. It's honeymoon regardless.
Even if it means your job?
Well, does it? Mull it over.
Yes, Earl.
When does he think he's leaving?
Late this afternoon. I couldn't do a thing with him.
Well, I'd better take charge of the young man. Earl and Steve on the fourth floor in the broom closet. A bulb has been burning for several days. Find the man responsible. Dock his pay.
Yes, sir.
Table, miss?
No, thank you. I'm looking for someone. Oh, there they are.
Pardon me. How about another?
I really shouldn't.
Bartender, two more stingers.
Make it three.
No, just two, please. I have to go. An appointment with my psychiatrist.
You always drink stingers, Mr. Stroud.
Mm-hmm. What makes you think my name is Stroud?
Oh, I'm psychic. Horoscopes, crystal balls, astrology.
Perhaps I should have brought a deck of cards.
Your hand will do. Oh. I see a stranger coming into your life. A woman of mystery.
Hmm. Does she know I'm married?
Yes. And I saw a recent quarrel with a very unpleasant man. A publisher. And the words 26 hours a day, Christmases, 4th of July, Mother's
Day. Wait a minute. You've been doing a lot more than just reading poems.
Well, you might add a pinch of listening in Earl's office this morning.
What were you doing in his office?
We're old friends. Perhaps I should say we were.
Didn't think he had any friends. Thought all he was crazy about was clocks.
Maybe I have a clock. You know, what you said this morning made me think we have a great deal in common. You know the inside, Janet. I know the outside. And together we...
No, won't, Georgette. Say you're late. Oh, this is Miss...
Pauline York.
Yes, she was telling my fortune.
With tea leaves, I see. Don't let me disturb you.
Oh, I'm afraid the psychic vibrations are unsympathetic. Goodbye, George.
She is psychic. Definitely unsympathetic.
Now, darling, let me explain.
Well, it better be good.
Believe me, it is good. Because A, she just sat down here. And B, I wouldn't make a pass at her on a bet.
P, you knew I'd be along any minute.
And D, this proves it. Reserve table, champagne, everything. Now, did you get the tickets?
Mm-hmm. The drawing room. The 722, Penn Station.
Next stop, Wheeling, West Virginia.
Still can't believe we're going. I get so worried sometimes.
Worried? That's no mood for a honeymoon, darling.
I know. But sometimes I think you married that magazine instead of me.
We got a certificate that says different.
But we don't live that way. We're like two strangers sharing an apartment. Either you come dragging home at night too tired even to talk to me. Unless you're off having fun with some dancer in San Francisco.
Well, I told you that was an article.
Well, I could write an article. How to look at a wall in six easy lessons. We should have stayed in West Virginia. We'd be a family now. Honest to goodness, full-time family. Oh, George, the whole thing is wrong. Little George doesn't even know you. The boy needs his father. Someone to teach him how to play football. Make model aeroplanes.
But I tell you, darling, it's all different now.
That's what you said last year. Just before you didn't show up at the airport.
But nothing will stop me this time. Neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night. Here's to a very happy honeymoon, Mrs. Stroud.
Happy honeymoon
to you, sir. Well, I've got to talk to
you. Well, let's roll the ball, buddy. We've played that angle so many times.
I've seen it for those proofs.
Coming right up.
You know, there might be something in that comic strip artist murder.
That's my idea. It might feature cartoons instead of photographs. Might work up a weekly feature, cartoon crimes. You get the idea?
Mr. Stroud, Mr. Janet's calling on one.
Say, why don't we have a...
Janet.
Yes, Mr. Janet. Yes, sir. Bearing right down on it. Running off the bands now. Green. But Mr. Janet, the printer doesn't like red ink, says it won't match. But you can't fire a man because he doesn't like red ink.
I guess you can.
Yes, sir. All set up for the next 2 weeks. What's that? Oh, I'll be here at about 4:30 this afternoon. Why, yes, I'd like to say goodbye to you, too. Come on, fella, what are you doing out there?
Well, we'll get by this issue all right, but I hate to think about the
next 2 weeks. Oh, stop worrying, Roy. Everything's going to be all right.
Mr. Janet is coming.
What?
Mr. Janet is coming.
George, whetted by curiosity. Nice of you to come down, Mr. Janet. I was tied up until this minute.
This job you've been doing, finding people. Fleming, Cipriani, Mrs. Dewhurst, step ahead of the police every time. How do you do it?
Well, you've heard of our blackboard.
I suspect it's more than that.
Well, let me show you. We call it the system of the irrelevant clue. Now, you see, the police only look for relevant clues. They haven't got time for much else. But we assemble all the clues. We recreate the man, his character, his mind, his emotions. And when you have that pattern, it's easy enough to figure out where he'll be.
Oh, that's interesting.
For instance, you'd never guess what broke the Fleming case. Seashells. He was a collector. Paleozoic bivalves. I checked his index and found that he had every variety except one. I had the name.
Oh, might have asked the name, George.
Well, anyway, this shell is in the conchological wing of the Salt Lake Museum. And it's not for sale. So I assigned a man to watch it constantly.
Fleming was going to steal it.
Well, wouldn't you steal something if you wanted it badly enough?
I might. George, you're an intelligent man, and you've done a fine job of work.
Well, the real credit belongs to the Crimeway staff, Mr. Janet. They got the details.
There's another thing I like about you, George. You're modest. That's why we've always worked so well together. We've had our little differences. They've been a material. 6 years, isn't it?
Seven.
Shoulder to shoulder, comrades in arms, neither letting the other down. And we've forged ahead. You know, this Fleming story, properly followed up, should boost circulation 10%.
Oh, 15.
That's the spirit. I know you'll squeeze every ounce out of it. It'll give you carte blanche for the next month. Now, play it for drama and suspense, so use anybody in the audience.
Wait a minute. Did you say next month?
And then your vacation, all expenses paid, South America.
West Virginia and tonight.
George.
You really had me going there for a minute until I began to gag over that soft soap.
I'll dispense with the soap. Now, George, you'll see this thing through with this, or you're finished with Janet Publications.
That's okay with me.
And I'll have you blacklisted all over the country. You'll never work on another magazine or on any other publication.
It's still okay.
I'll give you 6 minutes to reconsider.
I don't need them. I don't need 6 seconds.
Well, good afternoon, Miss Adams. How's that baby of yours?
Fine.
Splendid.
There's someone on the line for you, a woman.
What's her name?
She won't say. I think she's selling something. Keeps talking about telling you a fortune.
Oh, put her on.
Yes, sir.
How are you? Want to make a bet? 5-1, your crystal ball hasn't given you the latest flash. I have been fired as of 5:22 this afternoon. Name inscribed in gold letters at the head of the blacklist. Never to work in the publishing business again.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, first, I'm going out to get myself a good stiff drink.
Good. I'll join you.
Well, I'm sorry, but I have to go on my vacation.
But this is business, Mr. Stroud. You see, he thinks he's going to blacklist me, too. But I know enough about Mr. Janus to make him change his mind about both of us. I think you'll find it to our mutual benefit to meet me at the Van Bath in, say, about a half an hour.
Well, if you think it's that important, I'll drop by.
And what do you think she does? But she up and marries a son.
All right. You imagine, just because a fella doesn't like red ink, he fires him?
I like green.
Oh, he does? Bartender, bring us 2 more stingers, and this time make them with green mint.
With green mint?
Green mint, that's what the boy said.
Oh, no.
George.
Yeah.
At the office, did you ever use the confidential file?
I practically lived in them.
That's what I was hoping. You know, Earl has a passion for obscurity.
He won't even have his biography in Who's Who.
Sure, he doesn't want to let his left hand know whose pocket the right one is picking.
I think we can remedy that.
You mean write his biography? Who would buy it?
Earl would.
You know, that's a very interesting idea. But not in my line. What time is it?
7:25.
You'll excuse me if I... What?
7:25.
Holy smoke, we've missed our train.
Oh, Darryl, that's another train.
My wife will never forgive me.
You'd better bring two more. Make them triple.
With green mint.
Green.
Horrible.
What do you mean she left? I'm supposed to pick her up. Hey, just a minute, will you?
She picked herself up, Mr. Stroud, and she said if you weren't at the station by train time, she was leaving on schedule.
Thanks, Daisy.
If I don't get to that phone, mister, I'm going to be in trouble at home.
Trouble? You don't know the meaning of the word.
If you don't mind. So, everything all right?
How do you like that? It wouldn't even wait a couple of minutes for me. Here I go and give up my job, jeopardize my whole career for her sake, and she won't even wait a couple of minutes. That's the trouble with the world. Time is too much of it. Greenwich time, mean time, mountain standard time, double British summer time. There's too much of it. Down with it all, man against time. Tonight we fight behind the barricades. Larky, where those two drinks?
Here.
Now don't shilly shatter. Let's have them.
What?
Oh, I beg your pardon.
I beg your pardon. I hope nothing damaged.
Yeah, use mine. It's bigger.
If you wish, I have your handkerchief dry.
Just get us a couple of dry drinks.
With green mint.
With green ink. Mint. Don't forget that.
Nice singing, was.
Didn't realize Hagen was a music lover.
He just signs the checks for Earl, who also happens not to love music.
Well, we'll throw clocks at him. Green clocks. Come on, let's get armed. Let's get clocks. Hundreds of them, all green. You can forget those other two drinks. White clocks, yellow clocks, brown clocks, blue clocks. Oh, Miss York, where are the green clocks of yesteryear?
Hey, a picture.
How do they expect to sell things like that?
Well, Mary, if that's what I think it is, it's going to be worth a lot of letters one of these days.
This is the object, madam?
Yes. Where did you find it?
It was part of a lot.
A lot of what?
A lot of things, a consignment. I admit it is a trifle,
How much do you want for it?
Well, I haven't set a price for it yet.
$10?
Well, that's quite cheap. But considering it's...
I'll give you $20.
I didn't realize this was an auction. $10, and you needn't threaten it.
Just a moment, please. If this gentleman thinks it's worth 20...
He doesn't want to buy
it. Oh, yes, I do.
Well, who's it by?
It by someone named Patterson.
Did you think it was by Rembrandt?
Why not?
Oh, leave us not haggle. I'll give you $30 for it.
Well, that's more like it.
Isn't it a pity the wrong people always have money?
But that's not what we came in for. What was it?
Clocks.
Why, clocks, certainly.
Green clocks.
Green clocks, oh no. I'm sorry, no green clocks.
Well,
here.
That's a very strange attitude, the two tried and true customers. Very well, very, very well.
You know, my guarantee still stands, a free drink to anyone who can come in here and ask me for something that I haven't got.
You know, we should have thought of this place a long time ago.
Good evening, Mr. Stroud.
Pardon me, boy. How are you?
Pardon me.
A couple of straight bourbons and one beer.
Oh, George, we can't.
Oh, yes, we can. That's a fallacy.
Bird, old boy. I got you this time, Bird. Something you've never had. Just watch. Bird, a bubble. A nice, big bubble.
This is going to be very interesting.
Why don't you go home and try to think of something that I have not got?
They got everything.
Look at that. Well, Bertie boy, good luck to you. Now, can you think of something that you'd like to see?
Yes.
What clock?
A clock.
clock. That's too easy.
Oh, no, it isn't. This is a green clock.
Green clock. Must be a green clock around here somewhere. I'll look for it.
Hello, Tuttlesy boy. How are you?
Glad to see you.
George, how are you? Hey, Bert, set one up for my friend President McKinley, will you?
Right there,
I want you to meet the 23rd President of the United States.
The 25th.
I beg your pardon.
How do you do?
It's a very great pleasure, madam.
Thank you. I heard you were dead.
He is also Colonel Jefferson Randolph of Randolph Farms, Georgia.
Colonel Randolph.
We Jefferson Randolphs, ma'am, propose to fight the Yankees until the last drop of bourbon has been shed.
Inspector Regan of the Homicide Detail?
Yeah, and as an officer of the law, ma'am, it is my duty to warn you. Anything this fellow says can be held against him.
Judge Goodbody, Dr. Lifesaver, Christopher Columbus, and Theodore Roosevelt. Here's your medicine.
Thank you. We collectively thank you.
That's all. Don't go away with
the glass. Oh, I won't. Very happy to meet you, my dear. Good luck to you, George.
So long, Tuttle. How are you?
Jefferson Randolph, Inspector Regan. Who is that?
Radio, Pauline. Radio.
George.
What?
You remember what we were talking about?
No. Hey, how about that clock, Bert?
Oh, the clock. Now, wait a minute. I don't think...
No, I didn't think so.
Well, how about this?
Oh, I said green.
Green. I knew you said green, not to be sealed. Oh, I have it here.
Wait,
here.
A mile and a half.
A brand new sundial.
Sundial.
And a nice green ribbon from my old Uncle Shillelagh.
I'm telling you, the guy's wonderful.
No, just never. Green as the old sod itself.
That's wonderful. Let's just have a little green music, shall we?
Now, just a minute. How's that?
Just put it right on the bill. Put it right on the bill. Hey, laughing boy. How about a little green music, huh?
George, Clavia.
Oh, schmice. Come on, a little green music.
All right, Junior. E flat.
Hey! Yahoo! Hey, first, have a couple of drinks for the boys and make them green.
Green, yes.
Come on. I'm fixing you something.
Mm.
You'll feel better. George, wake up. This girl's car's downstairs.
Huh?
Come
what
on.
Happened?
You passed out. He's on his way up.
Who is?
Janet. Oh. Come on now. Come on. You've got to get out. Come on. Hurry. You'll be all right. Here's your hat. Take your halo.
No, I want you to have
all right,
it. Little
all right, thank you, but hurry. When you hear the elevator, then use the stairs. George, your picture. Oh, hello, dear. I'm so glad you didn't have to stay over. I said, I'm so glad you didn't have to stay over.
Was it a pleasant evening?
Marvelous. Met a lot of bright, brand new people.
Sounds interesting. What were you doing?
Oh, just moving around, spot to spot. Van Bar, a few other places.
Oh, don't turn the radio on.
I like it. Don't you? Have a nice trip.
Was he one of them?
One of who? Oh, you mean the bright, brand new people? Yes.
Who's this brand new person?
Oh, just a man. I don't suppose you know him. His name's Jefferson Randolph.
Southern family.
I suppose. Charming boy.
What does he do?
Nothing much, I'm afraid. Sort of a playboy.
Where did you get this?
Some crazy bar he goes to.
At least this time he wears a clean shirt.
Just what do you mean by that?
You know what I mean.
Are you bringing that up again? Throwing that cab driver in my face. You never forget him, do you?
No, do you?
No, you cheap imitation of polio.
And you don't forget the bellboy or the lifeguard last summer or the tap at Saratoga and who knows how many others. You don't forget any of them, do you? Including the one to come.
No!
you.
You of all people, you talk about my friend. Oh, that's right. What about you and the art way secretary?
What about
you? Think I don't know when the stenographer, the elevator girl, the kitchen publicity, the photographer's model. You think they'd look at you twice if you were some great Mr. Janus? You think you could make any woman happy? Have you lived this long without knowing that everybody laughs at you behind your back? You'd be pathetic if you were so disgusting. You flammy, flammy, load of Christmas. No!
Steve, I just killed someone. I had no right to come here, but I didn't know where else to go.
Well, she's been asking for it for a long time. She's a regular little comic.
She was one of the most generous women that ever lived.
Then why did you kill her?
I don't know, Steve. I just don't know. From here, I'll go to my lawyer, and then to prison, or even the chair. I'm sorry I disturbed you.
Don't be a fool, Earl. What about Janet Publication?
No. What can I do?
Earl, do you want to fight or do you want to quit?
Steve, if there's any chance at all, you'll know that I'll take it.
Of course there's a chance. You're not the first man who ever got into a jam. You've been very discreet about Pauline. No one knows about her but you and me. Now, let's see what we can work out. Tell me what happened.
I can't describe that.
Trial.
30 seconds before, I didn't intend anything like it. I just don't understand it. I killed her with some sort of a sundial she'd picked up somewhere, heavy metal. That's still there.
Where's your hat?
I left that.
All right, Earl. I'll go over there. Clean things up.
Steve, I'm gratified. I always thought you wanted to step into my shoes at Janet Publications.
Oh, Janet Publications isn't through with you yet.
Oh, it's you. The door's unlocked.
What's a honeymoon without a husband?
When did that occur to you?
But I was detained, darling.
I was so angry when the train left without you. It was unforgivable, George.
It was unforgivable your leaving without me.
Well, what was I supposed to do? Wait at the station till our golden wedding?
That's exactly what Janet wanted. Now, will you please listen
George,
to me?
George, I know the music by heart. Once the man puts his foot down, they listen to reason. Things are different now.
But it is different, you dope. Sit down.
I've quit. Quit cold for good, forever, and for always.
I can't believe it.
We're unemployed and penniless.
That's too good to be true.
Blacklisted. For life. Never to work on a magazine again.
Oh, George, how wonderful. Oh, how did it happen to you? Why didn't you call me?
But, darling, I had 18 million things to do. You just can't clean up 7 years in 5 minutes. But before I could turn around, it was 7 o'clock, so I called the house, but gone.
I'm terribly sorry, darling. I was miserable about it. Were you miserable, too?
Miserable? I was desolate. It's positively ironic. Here I go and throw away $30,000 a year, and you walk out on me. I tell you, the bottom fell out. Walked the streets like a zombie.
Didn't meet any blonde fortune tellers on the way, did you?
You're not serious.
Yes, George. I'm very serious. I've been thinking a great deal. I can stand a lot, but that's one thing I just couldn't take.
But, darling, that's something you'll never have to take. You're the only blonde in my life.
I'm a brunette.
You're the only brunette, too. Anybody know you're here?
Only Uncle Fred, but he wouldn't call at this hour. Anybody know you're here?
Only Daisy. I left her a note.
Don't answer it.
Nobody home.
Now tell me all about it, right from the beginning.
Well, I'll have to. Hello. Yes, Miss Stroud. Who? Put him on.
Hello, George. George, we've got the story of the year. It's a natural for you. What's that?
I said, haven't you heard? I've quit.
Well, George, this is important. The payoff man in an enormous war contract scandal. Find him and you'll get a bonus. 6 months vacation, maybe the fullest of prize.
I've already got the prize and I'm on a permanent vacation.
You won't listen.
George, Janet, I behaved very badly yesterday. She has been remonstrating with me about it. I can't blame you for being sore. As servants of the public, it is our duty to hound this man. Oh, the trail is still fresh. He was around town last night with a blonde. We know they were at the Van Bath in some bar called Bert's.
Do you know who the girl is?
No, we don't care about her. We're after the man. Yes, Jefferson Randolph.
Jefferson Randolph? No, never heard of him.
George, I'm not going to rest until I have exposed this scoundrel if I have to assign every man in my organization.
I'll grab the next plane, Mr. Janice.
George, if you leave now, I'll never speak to you again.
Darling, I have to.
Why?
Well, Janice says it's a war contract scandal, but that's a blind. I'm trying to find out who's been playing around with this girl. I happen to know the man. He's a victim of circumstances. I've got to go back. Keep Janice from finding him. It would wreck the man's life.
Wreck his life? Well, what about ours?
Morning, Mr. Janet.
Morning, Charles. Not very much to go on. Stroud can do it.
Even less on Fleming. We bent Bath's birthplace. But if Pauline was telling the truth.
She must have been. Told me there was a tag on the sundial. What did you do with that?
But it would have belonged back at Burke's barn.
That's good.
You're sure there was nothing familiar about this so-called Randolph?
I told you he was in the shadowy part of the hall.
But he saw you.
He couldn't help it. I was directly under the light.
Well, perhaps he doesn't know you.
Everybody knows me. He was the only one who can connect me with Pauline.
Except me.
You have a macabre sense of humor, Steve.
Good morning, Mr. Jonas.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Hagen.
Morning. Is Stroud in yet?
Yes, Mr. Jonas.
Send him to Mr. Hagen's office. You better talk to him first.
Yes, sir.
And Steve, we have to have Randolph before Pauline's body is found. Before he reads of the incident and goes to the police.
It'd be most unpleasant for me if he were to insist he saw me entering her apartment. I should have to call him a liar.
Send Mr. Chow here.
Yes, Mr. Hagen.
George, we appreciate this. We know what it means to you.
It means a great deal more to my wife.
She'll get over it. Now, let's get started. Earl told you the man's name, Jefferson Randolph. But I think it's an alias.
Why?
The kind of business he's in.
War contract scandals?
Spending the proceeds last night on the blonde.
It's quite an assignment. Guy spending money on a blonde.
Not quite as bad as that, George. We have a vague description of the man and the name for two night spots. Read these. Throw a staff together, many people as you want. You want action. Call on any of the other magazines for help. Set up your blackboard, your regular technique. You've got a free hand.
One question. Where's all this information come from?
A confidential source. We're pledged not to reveal it.
Why not call in the authorities?
No, George. This is an exclusive between you and me.
And Janet?
Of course.
Still some in this old bottle, Bill. Use them. Well, I'm tired and run down. I need a vacation. I should take an ocean voyage. Have you ever been abroad, Bill? Stimulating. Different people, different customs. Do you know that in some countries, after a murderer confesses, the police let him run and shoot him in the back? Do you think this killer has... Jefferson Randolph could be persuaded to run when we find him. His confession could just as well be prepared afterwards and then submitted to the police. Justice will be served. Wonderful story for crime wise.
Randolph. Jefferson Randolph.
This is really a tough one. It feels as if we're heading into a blank wall.
Well, we've worked with Bless before.
Well, maybe. Let's check the assignments. Lily, you and Morton take the DeWitt Hotel.
The DeWitt? The outset, George, the Van Barth.
Oh. Well, was it the Van Barth? Well, anyway, you're a society couple out for an early afternoon bracer. You get it?
That will be a pleasure.
We'll shoot you additional information as we get it. Edwin.
Yes.
You take Bert's place.
Don't you think you ought to pick someone more suitable?
Why? Edwin's smart. Besides, they never spot him for an investigator. Tony, you and Bert, the inquiring reporters. That means you have to check the doormen, newsboys, taxicab drivers, anybody else you might have seen them between the Van Barth and Bert's place.
Isn't that a big hunk of territory?
Well, we'll send somebody out to help you. Nat, yeah. You and Morgan and Talbot, you're the research division. Now, this guy's name, as I say, may be Jefferson Randolph. He's supposed to come from a wealthy family. So you'll have to check the telephone books, tax records, utility list, general business directory, or anything else you can think of that cities within 200 or 300 miles. Now, any questions?
Yeah. We ask about the blonde, too?
Yes, you can ask about the blonde. But don't forget, it's the man we want and only the man. Now, suppose you climb on your horses, huh? And don't forget to report in as soon as you get anything. Or I'll be on the telephones.
George, you didn't give me an assignment.
Well, you help with the phones. Get a couple extra installed.
Check.
Oh, Miss Adams.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to be disturbed.
Get Butterfield 83597 all morning. Can you check it for me? It's not out of order? Thanks. Bird's place? Who is this? Charlie, it's George Stroud. Look. No, no, it's not about the fin at all. Look, it's Bert there. He isn't? But when he comes in, give him a message for me, will you? I wasn't there last night, get it?
Sure, I got the message. And about that fin, I'll pay it back the end of the week. Oh, that's swell of you, George. Goodbye.
No, you don't. So you're the guy that's been swiping all my stuff.
You got me wrong. I was just scraping the stamp off the bottle. I collect them.
Get out of here and stay out.
Couldn't you give me another chance, Bert?
You had your last chance on St. Patrick's Day.
But I've got a message for you.
Give it to the telegraph company.
Okay, I'll go, but I won't come back.
Finch, I got a lead. Yeah, a witness who saw a couple like ours near Bert's place. About 10:30? Yeah, and the man had a picture under his arm of a pair of hands. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got it. A painting of a pair of hands.
Hands, Mr. Cordell?
Hands. What about descriptions? Gorgeous, huh? And the man? Good. Keep checking. Finch said that a man and a gorgeous blonde were seen outside Bird's place 10:30 last night. They were both a little high.
Yeah.
And the man had a painting of a pair of hands under his arm. The witness didn't get a good look at the man. Finch says he was too busy staring at the blonde.
Too bad. Miss Connolly, on the board, Bird's place, 10:30.
Oh, George.
Yes, Steve.
Mightn't that be one of your famous irrelevant clues?
What?
The picture.
Yes. Yes, it might at that.
We've got to get busy. If he had it under his arm, he probably just bought it. Somewhere nearby.
Yeah, I'll assign a man to check it.
Assign a dozen men. Check every art store and antique shop in the neighborhood. Maybe he paid for it with a check. Maybe somebody will remember the picture.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
As of 12:17, the clue chart reads as follows. Name, Jefferson Randall. Appearance, tall, medium build, black hair. Clothes, single-breasted gray suit, well-tailored, blue tie. Age, about 35. Frequents Ben Barth and Bert's place. Habits, collects paintings. Character, questionable.
Hello? No, this is Kislov. Yeah, go ahead.
Boss Falling at the Ben Barth, he has something.
They remember them here, but the bartender who served them hasn't come in yet. I found one very charming lead, though.
The hat check lady.
Well, he's been in here before, but with his wife. No, she can't add anything to our description. But she remembers his hat.
Brown felt hat with a feather and a band. Anything else? Okay, stick around till the bartender comes.
Guess I better put that on the board, huh?
Yeah.
Miss Conley, put that on the board. Brown felt hat with a feather and a band.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
So far, we have located 5 Randolphs. 1 in Forest Hills, 1 in Brooklyn.
Well, assign a man to each one of them. Try and find out where they were last night. Tell them it's a pole on America's nightlife or something, will you?
Yeah. Right.
George, we've got a break. Finch traced the picture. An antique shop on 3rd Avenue. The man paid $30 for it. It was painted by an artist named Patterson.
Yeah.
Sounds as if he might be a collector, huh?
Yeah, does it that.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
We better check.
What's the name of the chief critic on Artways?
Right. That's...
What do you mean, right?
Well, is the name Klausmeier or something?
Yeah. I'll phone him. Send him out to see Patterson.
Good.
Say, George. This painting. It's Patterson, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it says. Got a couple of others at home, too.
Well, why don't you interview Patterson? Randolph may be a fellow collector.
Oh, no, Roy. Well, the way we're going, we'll have this guy in a couple of hours. Maybe sooner. You go ahead and keep a check on things. Amazing how much junk is in these things. Miss Adams.
Yes, sir?
Try and keep this thing clean for me, will you?
Good morning, young lady.
Beat it.
Is your mother at home?
I said beat it.
Mother!
Grover.
Someone trying to steal the milk.
No, I was...
Yes?
Miss Patterson?
Yes?
I'm Don Klausmeier from Artways Magazine.
Yes. Oh, didn't you review my show in 41?
I think I did.
Oh, come in, Mr. Klausman.
Klausmeier.
I've been planning to kill you for years. Drop those chairs and I'll break both your arms. Straight ahead.
Are all these your little ones, Miss Patterson?
More or less. That was Ralph's, my first husband.
Ralph?
Drank himself to death. That one's Frederick's, lost at sea. I had a third husband. Here! Oh, and the twins are Mike's.
Your present husband?
Would be if I could find him. Oh, don't sit there. No. It collapses. Won't you come into my workshop? Don't be afraid. A glass of sherry?
Oh, no, thank you.
Sit down, Mr. Clarkson.
Maya. Oh,
another review?
No. Our organization, the Janet Publications, is trying to find someone, possibly a collector of your pictures.
So have I, for 15 years.
Well, this man bought one of your pictures last night in an antique shop in Third Avenue.
Oh, a pair of hands.
Oh, yes. How did you know?
I was there, trying to buy them myself.
Then you saw this man. Can you describe him?
Oh, yes. Smug, self-satisfied, symmetrical features. I could draw him for you.
That would be wonderful.
Of course. I should like to be paid.
Of course. How would $100 be? And of course, the same for the blonde.
You mean you don't know the blonde?
No.
Oh, she's a model. You suppose for that horrible fashion rag of yours, Styleways. I wanted to use her once for a painting, Avarice.
You know her name?
Oh, yes. Pauline York.
Pauline York. What the scoop? Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Klausberger.
Klausmeier.
Oh, but what about the sketches?
Check with George Stroud at Crimeways Magazine.
Oh, sorry. Oh, Penelope. You forgot to put away your roller skate.
Ford certainly is coming along fine.
Yep, I'd say we're getting a pretty good picture of the man. Quite a drinker, collects painting.
Eccentric.
Clock phobia, glib talker.
Ladies' man.
And married.
How'd you like your wife to see something like that, George?
My wife?
Oh, anyway, she'd start shooting before you could open your mouth.
I'll see you. Hello. Yes, Don, this is George. What? You have? Who is she?
Pauline York. She modeled for Styleways once. Patterson recognized her. She was in the antique shop trying to buy that picture herself, and York was with the man who outbid her. I'm going over to see York right now.
Oh, Don. No, wait a minute. No. You take over.
What is it?
New lead.
Is on the air. Presented as a public service, it might have happened to you, come to you each week from a different American city. Dramatized from real life, it might have happened to you, hopes to reduce the appalling casualty rate on our highways and byways. This week, tragedy strikes in Elk. Extra little lift. The Elksburg Unit's war crew opens now with American message.
Don.
George, have you seen Miss York?
Yeah, I saw Miss York. Got all the information.
Who's the guy?
Jefferson Randolph. Publisher from Pittsburgh. Got his own plant down there. I want you to hop on a plane. Find out all you can about it.
Check the Chamber of Commerce. Talk to the mayor. Somebody know where he is. Taxi. Then call us back. You understand?
George, I'm an art editor. Not an investigator.
Go ahead. LaGuardia Field.
Toothbrush and...
Put it on the expense account. Go on. Beat it.
Oh, Dorman.
Yes, sir.
You happen to know Mr. Janus?
Mr. Janus? Sure. Fine fella. Gave me a wristwatch last Christmas.
Didn't happen to see him last night around 1 or 1:30, did you?
I quit at 12.
How about the telephone operator or the elevator boy?
Everybody knocks off at 12.
By the way, does Miss York have a maid?
Sure, but you won't find her. She started her vacation last Monday.
You sure?
I got a postcard from her from Milwaukee.
Oh, where would you get a cab around 1 o'clock in the morning?
2 blocks.
Thanks.
Tail.
$1.50. Ed, $1.06 I owe you. Ed.
$5 I owe in return for little information.
You got a deal, mister.
Who's on duty here after midnight?
Nobody.
Not an all-night stand.
That's right. Nearest one's on 5th Avenue, 2 blocks from here.
Thanks.
Careful, that's mine.
April of 4th, 1936. Crowd catcher at the Greenwich Village sidewalk show. Louise Patterson.
That's right.
Research stuck it up.
Decadent looking thing.
Yes, but I can use it as bait. Offer a reward for the original, as in the afternoon papers, big scale reproductions of the picture. A lost masterpiece. Randolph or somebody's bound to bite.
Do that at once.
Get me Sheikman and Press Relations and Paul Bell. $1,000?
Fool around with this. $10,000.
How about the stand in front of Scanlon's drugstore?
No.
The Parkway Hotel? The Ashland Library? Say, there's a stand by an all-night hamburger joint 3 blocks down. How about that?
I could use a hamburger. Thanks. That's your cab out there?
Yeah, you want it?
No, not exactly. How many drivers use this stand?
It's me and Kowalski.
Uh-huh. Who was on last night between 1 and 2 o'clock?
You trying to find out about a fare Kowalski had then?
Yeah.
He was telling me, half crazy, the guy was. No hat, mumbling to himself. Came out of 20 for a 12-block haul.
What'd he haul him to?
Didn't say.
Where does Kowalski live?
Somewhere around here. Don't know exactly. First name's Tesmer, if that's any help.
No, not much.
He'll be here at 8.
He will?
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, you have him call me, will you?
Yes.
Tell him there's another 20 in it. Thanks. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you, Mr. Stroud. I certainly wish I could find that picture.
Uh-huh.
I made hours and manpower there for 4 to 6 employees and results enough information about this man, his whimsy characters, his clean-cut features, charming manners, his penchant for Greenwind stingers and modern paintings to write his biography. But Mr. Stroud, where is he?
That I don't know. I faced the blonde, though. Name's Pauline York.
How did you discover that?
Klausmeier and I just came from her apartment.
Did you talk with her?
I couldn't very well on account of she was dead. That doesn't seem to be much of a shocker.
Why do you think we've been conducting the search?
How did you find out she was dead?
Our maid discovered her this morning. Telephoned Steve.
Telephoned Steve?
Yes, she was a protege of his.
Why didn't the maid call the police?
Steve asked her not to. He's been rather generous with her of late. We wanted to trap Randolph ourselves, then hand him over and feather in our caps.
Yeah. Yeah, but where's all this dope on Randolph come from?
The maid, she heard them talking, quarreling.
That's what makes you think he killed her.
Who else could it be?
Well, how about Steve, for instance? She was his protege.
That's a very strange suggestion, Stroud. I telephoned him at his home. Spoke to him 12:30.
Within 7 minutes of the time the murder took place.
How do you know?
The clock broke in the struggle.
Oh, then you've been in her apartment.
Well, the maid reported it.
She seems to be quite a detective.
What is the matter with you, Stroud?
I just can't understand why you're so sure Randolph killed her. Suppose an investigation proved him innocent.
An investigation? What sort of an investigation?
Well, an inquiry around the apartment house. Witnesses who saw somebody else enter or leave.
You have witnesses?
No.
Not yet, but I shall have to look for them. That is, unless you decide to let the matter drop.
You're going to great lengths to protect this Randolph.
Just trying to keep an open mind.
Very open. Have you some inside knowledge of this matter? Yes. Oh, Cordell. You have? Oh, excellent. Excellent. Don't forget about your witnesses. We have our man. He was just seen entering the building. I want an emergency order issued. All exits blocked. The building closed. No gasoline unless identified. You take charge.
Yes, sir.
Stroud? Now.
Gentlemen, but all exits have been closed except the main door. We will try to inconvenience you as little as possible. If everybody will proceed in the direction of the desk, we will try to get you out quickly. Just a matter of identification. Just a matter of identification. Your cooperation will be appreciated. Thank you.
Everybody on this side of the room, please. Thank you, Farmer Single Line. All in room, please.
We'll be out of here in a couple of minutes.
Thanks. Right, nobody leave the building except through the front entrance. That means everybody. Mr. Janet's orders.
Steve.
Yes, Earl.
Have you sent for the other witnesses, Patterson, that hat check girl?
Not yet.
Get them immediately.
Get Patterson and the people at the Van Barth.
I've already stationed the antique dealer in the lobby.
The bar at the Van Barth.
What with the janitors and elevator operators, we have 50 men stationed, Mr. Stroud. If the man gets out, it'll be a miracle.
Certainly will.
Cordette.
Can't reach him.
Yeah? I'll find out about that. Mr. Hagen?
Yes.
The people are raising cane in the lobby. They don't like the idea of being delayed.
Yes, sir. Go down and use a little diplomacy. Make sure no one leaves without being passed to the antique dealer. Right. Morgan Talbot, you go with him.
Okay. We're taking care of that.
Yeah. All in?
Birch, please.
Nothing at all?
I find all this very distasteful. An extremely sordid place. A disreputable clientele.
Did you ask any questions? Well, ask some.
Very well, if I must, I must.
Thank you very much for letting me use the telephone. Here's your nickel.
Do you mind if I ask a civil question, Bud?
Not at all.
What's the matter with the public library? Did they raise the dues over there?
Ah, see here, my friend.
Oh, now, don't get sore, Bud. You just aroused my curiosity. Sitting here all afternoon with one limeade and two books, and you don't even play the game.
Child's play. And I don't like your limeade. No. I'm just waiting for someone.
And who might that be?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It's quite simple. He's a friend of a friend of mine. I've never seen him. But I understand he's an habitué. He was in here recently with a stunning blonde. That is, if you think blondes are stunning.
Yes. You wouldn't be his brother-in-law by any chance.
He might be a bill collector. What do you want with this guy?
It's quite personal. I'm told he talks about clocks, green clocks.
Green clocks, you say?
Do you know him? Can you describe him for me?
Oh, that'll be easy.
Sure we could, because he's a very remarkable fellow, you know.
Yes, a very remarkable fellow.
Why should this man be in the building unless he is employed here, or at least known? You correlate your information. We can identify him.
Out of 3,000 employees and 2,000 sightseers a day?
Nothing is impossible.
Hello? Yeah, Edwin. You have? Paul in the first place says he's got a complete description. Shoot, Edwin. Last night with a blonde, two witnesses. Okay, let's have the description. Built up heels, cauliflower ear, brown toupee.
That's right. A brown toupee.
And don't forget the glass eye.
It's a left eye. Glass eye. The left one.
Glass eye? Hold it. Edwin says...
I heard. Man... Anybody know a man with a glass eye?
What's that idiot's name?
Edwin Orlin.
Fire him.
Mr. Hagen, I can't do it.
Orlin, this is Mr. Hagen. Yes, Orlin, we heard your description.
Superior Cab Company? This is George Stroud of Crimeways Magazine. I'm trying to get hold of one of your drivers, Kazimir Kowalski. He has no phone? How about his address?
16 East 31st. Thank you.
Louise Patterson to see you, George.
Oh, I'm pleased to see that somebody likes my work.
I've been an admirer of yours for years, Miss Patterson.
Are you Mr. Stroud?
I'm afraid so.
Well, I should like to earn my money. That codfish, Mr. Klaus. Klaus...
Klaus Meyer.
Yes. He said that you'd pay $100 for a sketch of the man who bought my painting. And then somebody else called and said that you'd get me another 50 if I'd come down here and identify him, plus the cab fare. That's 151.55 and a 10-cent tip.
I'll give you a cash voucher.
Yes, the cashier will pay you. Oh. I'll get a messenger.
All right. Shall I start the sketch now?
It won't be necessary, you see.
Never mind, Mr. Stroud. I've few enough collectors without sending one to jail. What did you do? Oh, never mind. With all that hue and cry downstairs, it must be something terribly lurid. But I don't mind. My agent says that I shall make a fortune on the strength of that last masterpiece story. Oh, my goodness. This says $500.
I said I was an admirer of yours.
You didn't sound that way last night, bidding against me. By the way, what did you do with my picture?
Took it home.
Under the circumstances, don't you think it would be safer with me?
Let's discuss that later. All right, now I have to go and find a taxi cab driver. Thank you.
Claudette! Here's the man who will cash your voucher.
Thank you.
Now, of course, you understand that we can't pay you the money until you finish the picture.
Oh.
Finish the picture.
Naturally. I'll stop the sketch now.
Just a minute. Oh, it's you, Mr. Stroud.
Just out for a sandwich, boys.
Sorry, nobody's leaving unless I get identified in the lobby. Mr. General's orders.
Good work. Keep on the beam.
Stroud isn't here at the moment. Will Pittsburgh picture someone else?
Look, I was disconnected from the Van Barth.
May I look at the sketch now?
Not yet. It isn't finished. A slipper of character, this Randolph. Isn't he? Glib talker, ladies' man, playboy. I could almost believe that he was my fourth husband, Mike. He was a playboy, too.
Coffee, Mrs. Stroud?
No, thank you.
I'm sorry, operator. Please ask Mr. Klausmeier to speak to someone else. How's that? Mr. Klausmeier won't speak to anyone else.
Will you tell Mr. Klausmeier that... Oh, Georgia, collect all from Pittsburgh,
darling. I knew you wouldn't stay away.
Not after what I found in our bedroom.
Pardon, in our bedroom?
Yes, in our bedroom.
Oh, I can explain everything there.
George, all of us
in my office, dear. Family quarrels should be held in private.
Family quarrels?
George, the call from Pittsburgh.
Oh, refuse the charges. And a fine pickle, Hagen. Vacation busted up, marriage almost on the rocks. How am I going to explain?
You can explain, Mrs. Stroud. You have a good man.
Oh, darling, if you only knew what I've been through today.
Take your hands off me, Jefferson Randolph. You see, I've been reading that blackboard, too.
But, darling, it's a long, long story.
Yes, I know. All about wrecking an innocent man's life.
Please listen to me. Don't start making accusations till you know the true facts.
I was talking with the Van Barth, the bar. I was disconnected. Oh, hello, Lily.
The bartender just came in. He says that Randolph spilled a drink on the blonde.
It was a stinger with green mint.
And that she mopped it up with his handkerchief and put the handkerchief in her purse.
I tell you, that was the most horrible drink I ever had in my life. I was at the bar, there, I was shaking, but I just couldn't take it. I was trying to drink my liver. Just a moment, I'm talking, yes? And as I was drinking the drink...
Please, will you shut up?
Shh, the lady's talking.
No, no, not you.
Well, bring the bartender with you. We're waiting. Billy says the blonde took a handkerchief from the gentleman.
Might have a laundry mark on it. That's interesting. Now, if we can only get the handkerchief... I better put that on the blackboard.
Yes?
Mr. Cordette is here.
Send him in.
Mr. Hagen, Mr. Jones wants you downstairs. It's very important.
Thank you. And so help me, the first I knew she was dead was this afternoon.
Why didn't you call the police?
And spend the next 90 years in jail? Why, Janet will have lots of alibis. Bill, Hagen, a dozen other people if necessary. Me, all I got is myself.
And that taxi driver. Or did you just invent him?
Invent him? Could I invent a name like Kazimir Kowalski?
You could invent anything. Miserable, desolate, walk the streets like a zombie. And all the time, you were with us.
But, darling, I called the cab company, got his address, even wrote it down, but I can't get out of here. Yes?
Stand by, George. The janitor must speak to you.
Right, Steve. Believe me, if I get out of this jail, I'm going right back to West Virginia.
Oh, George, if I could just believe it.
I'd cover church socials, write obituaries, set type, anything.
Oh, that would be wonderful. But you won't.
Yes, sir.
George, I want this man smoked out. Use the guards, mobilize everyone. Start a floor-by-floor search of the entire building.
Yes, sir. Put O'Brien right on it.
I want you to follow through in person. You understand me?
Yes, I understand. Georgette.
Georgette!
She just left. Out this way, boys. We'll take this corridor first. You take the one to the left.
Any luck to your sign?
Nothing yet.
I'll keep it up.
Are you up here? The antique dealer wants to see you. George?
He must be somewhere. You wait here. I'll find him.
What do you think of this?
Take it easy. Keep calm. This is somebody's been murdered. That's all.
Murdered?
Oh, there you are, George. The antique dealer wants to know...
Well, what happened to him?
I haven't seen him.
Well, I told him to wait. How stupid can a guy get?
Just keep looking.
Cordell.
This Patterson's picture, where is it?
She hasn't finished it yet, Mr. Janet.
I asked for a sketch, not a mural.
Somebody call me?
Yes. Mr. Janet wants to see the picture right now.
Oh, of course. Oh, would you like it in oil?
No, no, madam. I'll see it just as it is. Come along, come along, come along.
I think I've captured his mood rather successfully, don't you?
Mr. Janet! Mr. Janet, sir, here's the antique dealer. He says Randolph jumped him on the fifth floor.
Murder, he said, a murder case.
Did you get a look at him?
Enormous. I fought. I struggled. No use. Wild glare in his eyes.
Warn everyone. Authorize them to shoot if necessary. Man's a maniac.
Phil O'Brien and the guards downstairs.
Yes, Mr. Hagen. Yeah? Oh. They're finished on nine, Mr. Janet. I sent for George Stroud.
Tell them to keep moving.
Better keep moving.
Mr. Janet, here are the witnesses from the Van Barth. Miss Thomas, the hat check lady. How do you do? And Mr. Kolbass, the bartender.
Gentlemen and ladies, Janet's publications are extremely grateful for your help. You may not realize it, but when we apprehend this man, you will have done your duty as citizens of your community.
Well, Mr. Stroud, be careful. This guy's a dangerous maniac. We just got orders to shoot to kill.
Thank you.
I have authorized two rewards of $1,000 each. One for the person identifying our man and the other for the person... What's the matter?
The man! He was right there!
George!
Well, this way.
I hear you, gun!
Yeah, call the guard.
In here. Where have you been?
That taxi cab driver.
You got him?
Oh, he's gone. He and his wife came in for a sudden legacy, the neighbor said.
How do you like that? Sudden legacy from old Grandpa Jan. That's all I needed. What are you doing?
I'm going to call the police.
And turn me in?
Well, it's better than having you shot.
Come on.
Oh, George, I heard what those guards said. They called you a maniac. Why did you ever have anything to do with that woman?
But I told you I didn't. There must be some way out of this mess if I could only think. Give me a cigarette.
Oh, I haven't got one. I could use one of Hagen's.
Maybe I should go to Janet and try to make some sort of a deal.
Here you are.
Let me see that.
It's in the box.
Well, well.
What do you mean, well, well?
This is mine. It was in Pauline's purse.
There you go again. Pauline.
How did Hagen get it?
Well, she certainly got around, didn't she?
Claimed he was never up there. Why don't we pin this job on Hagen? They've been so busy covering up Janet, they left the Hagen wide open. Would have been such a hole, he'll have to implicate Janet. Hello, birthplace. It's George Stroud. Let me speak to the president.
President?
President McKinley.
George, are you sure you're all right?
Stroud, are you in my office? Mr. Janet wants to see you in your office at once. George, you there?
Talk to this guy. Get him up here as fast as you can. He's a radio actor, a friend of mine.
Well, where are you going?
Into retirement. When you get him, call me in extension 381.
I can't find Stroud at the moment. You take charge. Round everybody up. Make a mess to the top floor. Get the right driver. 5,000 enough. Good man.
Company. This is Stroud of Primeways again. Listen, did Kowalski, one of your drivers, make a record of his fares last night? About 130. Yeah, Kowalski. Yeah, 120 will do. He did? What was the address? 323 Sutton Place? Thanks. Joseph. Stanley. Stephen. Stephen Hagen. 323 Sutton Place.
Two hundred and fifty people. 12 hours, 43 minutes.
Oh, the clock has stopped.
What's that?
The clock is stopped.
So is this one.
Why shouldn't it stop? What's the matter with that?
But you wish your orders never to stop the clocks for anything.
Why shouldn't it stop for what? It's a mechanical thing. It can go wrong, can't it?
It started again.
This one started again, too.
Steve, this hasn't happened in 12 years. Bill, go downstairs, see if there's anyone inside the clock.
Have you been?
Never mind. We've got to work fast while I tug this out of the elevator.
Who? Oh, what elevator?
I'll tell you about it later. Look, Mac.
I came over as soon as I could.
Yeah, thanks.
What do you want?
Wait a minute. Mr. Janet there? This is George Stroud.
Janet speaking.
I'm in Hagen's office, Mr. Janet. I've nailed our man. He'll be here as soon as you and Hagen can get here.
Good work. We'll be right up.
Have someone find Bill. Tell him to come to my office at once.
Well, they'll send up Bill as soon as they find him.
We'd better go in and see what Stroud has for us.
Janet?
George, is this the hot man?
No, it's Inspector Regan of the Homicide Detail. Mr. Old Janet and
Inspector
Steve Hagen.
How do you do, Inspector?
Mr. Hagen?
How do you do? Inspector, would you mind stepping outside a moment? I give you my solemn word, nothing irregular will occur.
You
That Hagen fellow, I've seen him somewhere before.
He's editor-in-chief here.
Let's try these two rooms.
Stroud, I thought you understood this was confidential.
This is my wife. She's been helping me.
I beg your pardon. I'm talking about the police. You were told to keep them out.
Not until we had the murderer. I'm afraid it's going to be a shock.
Shock.
Our man is Mr. Hagen.
George, this is a very serious charge.
I wouldn't be making it if I didn't have the evidence.
Evidence? Why, the witnesses have all seen me. Talk to me.
I'm not saying you're Jefferson Randolph, but nevertheless, he's the murderer.
Why should I kill Pauline?
Blackmail. He's been giving her money by check. The bank will verify that.
Ridiculous.
Is it?
Cigarette? Not now.
Go ahead, Steve. You need a smoke.
Thank you, no.
You're afraid to open the box. Why?
Because I found something in here. Hidden away.
The handkerchief that Miss York got from Randolph at the Van Barth. Notice the green stains. Where would he get it except from the person in her apartment?
Did it occur to you the maid might have brought it up here?
The maid's been away on a vacation. She's been gone a week. Link number three, the taxi driver who took you from Pauline's apartment.
I don't seem to see him here.
He was bribed to go away. I went to his home and found out. But I've got the address he took you to. Got it from the cab company's files. And it's 323 Sutton Place. That's Hagen's residence. There's your evidence, Mr. Janet. And it'll stand up in court.
I doubt that, George. I think you've had a brainstorm. Anybody could have taken a cab to my address or have planted that handkerchief in my cigarette box. As for the maid, I think I can produce her if necessary. Earl saw her this morning. Didn't you, Earl?
Of course I did.
I'm afraid your case won't hold water.
We'll see what they say about that at headquarters. Darling, would you ask Inspector Regan to come in?
Just about covered the floor, Mr. Corbett.
Inspector.
Only the executive officers are left.
Sorry to have to do this, Steve. There's your murderer, Inspector.
Inspector? Why, I've seen him catching drinks at Burt's Place, a broken-down radio actor. George, I'm beginning to get an idea. Maybe some other witnesses should take a look at you.
Yeah, just a minute, you. So you've seen me catching drinks at Burt's Place, huh? Well, I just remembered seeing you at Burt's Place late last night, sneaking that sundial back into Burt's collection.
Sundial?
Yeah, didn't think we saw it. Had it under his coat.
A murder weapon. The witnesses saw him try to dispose of it. That wraps it up, Mr. Janet. Now we'll try a real cop.
Well, Earl?
Steve, I know how you feel about me and about my organization. You're the most loyal employee I've ever had. I'm not going to let you down, Steve. I'll put every resource we have at your disposal. We'll fight this through for you, no matter how long it takes or how much it costs. You're not going to be alone, Steve. Every bit of influence I can have.
Hagen! Mr. Hagen! Mr. Hagen! Steve, your office and Mr. Janice are the only ones we haven't...
The search is off, send everybody home.
Off? What about Jefferson Randolph? Who is he?
Not interested. You insufferable egomaniac. You thought you inspired such adulation that I'd do anything for you. George, Janice killed Pauline.
You'll say that in court?
I will.
Got away. Get him to the police department.
Where is he?
Elevator shaft.
Ah! It's him!
Who? Jefferson Randolph?
My fourth husband, Micah, darling.
Oh, no.